Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the entertainment world. My guest today is a singer, songwriter, plus a whole host of other things, Anna Carney. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Simon. Hello, world.
I know that the idea of this interview is to talk about your new CD, but before we do that, I'm wondering if you could tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I am a San Francisco native, proud of it, and I came up listening to all kinds of music here in the Bay Area and studied quite a few instruments and slowly morphed into a songwriter and a composer, and I'm just continuing to make noise, I think, until they hold the jewel cup underneath my mouth and wheel me off.
you said study some instruments. Are you classically trained? Is that what I'm getting?
I have been classically trained. I've spent many years studying piano and clarinet and voice, and then also independent study in folk. I'm a huge fan of folk music, like Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie, and I think her name is Elizabeth Cotton, great bluegrass musician of times gone past. And so studying music from all over the world intently. There was a whole moment where I was really deeply into African music, Fela Kuti and King Sunny Ade. And so in Spanish music, Camarón and Paco de Lucía.
My word. That's quite a universal look at the world of music.
Well, if it's beautiful or good, I'm there.
You mentioned the piano. Is the piano your favorite instrument for composition?
It depends on what composition. I'd say my favorite instrument to play is my guitar.
No, there's a big difference between composing and playing.
Yeah, I mean, I used to call piano my money instrument and guitar my love instrument. I've made a lot of my living playing piano or composing. But my heart is in the guitar and singing.
I think we've kept our listeners in suspense long enough. Would you mind terribly if we played the title track to your new CD and then we can talk about it?
That would be a great honor.
Okay. This is Love and Respect.
Love and respect.
It's a very interesting track.
Thank you.
Tell me a little about your new CD, which I believe is titled Love and Respect.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be out on July 10th, and it's going to be available on all the usual places, iTunes, Amazon, you know, just take a search around. And if you want to order it in advance, you can go on to Bandcamp.com and just, you know, Google in Carney, or just put in the search Carney, and that's spelled with a K, by the way, K-A-R-N-E-Y. Or you can go to the Carney Band Facebook page and download a free copy of one of the other songs that we're going to hear a little later on, and called A Beautiful Day. I also have a website, carney.org, and Twitter if you want to follow me, Carney Music. Okay, I got them all in there.
Is there any social media sites that you're not involved in?
I hope not. No, I'm working with a great team through Independent Distribution Collective, IDC, out of San Francisco. And they just, you know, it's a wonderful thing, and you just get hooked up to all kinds of resources through it. If you're an independent artist, you know, you should check it out.
Yeah, I recognize that name. I think I interviewed someone maybe a month or so ago, and he mentioned them, and
uh-huh.
You know what a great job they had done.
Absolutely.
Let's change track just a little bit. I was doing some investigating on Carney.
Uh-oh.
And believe it or not, I ended up on the infamous IMDb, you know, the Internet Movie Database. And you're listed as being involved in the computer video game world.
That's right.
How on earth did you get involved in that?
Well, I started quite a few years ago, just sort of starting small and getting involved little by little. I'm lucky to have lived in the Bay Area, so we have, you know, at that time, SimCity was still owned by Maxis. And I had a few music composer colleagues that were involved with LucasArts. And so one thing led to another, and I ended up doing a lot of the music on Monkey Island 4, which is a very popular LucasArts title. I also was the primary composer on a game called Armed and Dangerous. And then I did quite a few tracks for SimCity, The Sims, Streets of SimCity, and oddly enough, if you go onto iTunes and check out my other CDs, which are up there all connected, and my first CD, Carney, you can also buy from EA, not from me, but from EA, some of my Sims tracks, which feature some great artists, too, because back then it was very much more Bay Area. The musicians was headed by a guy named Jerry Martin, who was the principal composer, and he hired all these composers from the Bay Area, one of which was me, and we hired all kinds of incredible musicians that are in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area. So you'll hear Ron Stallings and my husband Bill Ortiz, who plays with Santana. I mean, I know I'm just totally name-dropping, but hey, it's the truth.
There's nothing wrong with name-dropping. Is it different composing for a video game than it is for, let's say, a movie or just to perform?
Well, you know, it's a corporate thing, right? I mean, you're working for a corporation most of the time, unless you're working for an independent gaming production company, which I did for several years. It was much more relaxing. But when you're working for somebody like you know, LucasArts or EA. It is a corporate job, so there are deadlines and milestones, and there's a lot of pressure. It's also a technological challenge, which is really inspiring. However, when you're in the studio, that's a technological challenge too. So, you know, it's just different in what the purpose is. When I write my own songs, obviously it's a personal expression. When I'm writing music for games or commercials or whatever, you know, it has to do with their game or their commercial and getting the right the right sound for what they want.
Do they lead you, you know, give you ideas or is it up to you to look at the, you know, the situation, the piece of gameplay, and decide, you know, how best to tackle it from a creative point of view?
Well, a little of both. And there's a lot of back and forth between many people who are involved in creating that game, you know, the story, the programming, sound effects, level changes and so forth, intensity. You know, you can come to the table with some ideas, or they might have ones that are really, really solid. For instance, for the SimCity, there was a moment where it was like SimSpeak, so they definitely had an idea about how the, you know, the words should sound, that you shouldn't be able to tell what you're saying, so you had to sort of morph a whole new language when performing it. And it was kind of interesting. Three-dimensional composition, I won't get into that, we'll be here till next week.
Okay, I have to ask, what is three-dimensional composition?
Well, it's sort of like you're composing on a it's really hard to explain in 30 seconds or less, but it's not linear, let's put it that way. You're not going from the beginning of the piece to the end of the piece. You're creating a scenario where at any point you can hop to another level and the music flows. So let's say you're in a slow game mode and then you go to a fast game mode. You have to be able to sort of blend all these moments in the composition so that it sounds natural.
Right. But it essentially is a static track, if you will, but the game producers just use parts for parts?
It depends on the engine that's creating the music. Yeah. And the programming that goes behind it. It's a long topic. It's like, it's a huge topic to talk about. They spend entire game conferences on this stuff.
Okay, well, I'm not that technical, so I think I'll go to plan B.
Okay.
Why don't we play A Beautiful Day?
Right, yeah, A Beautiful Day. It's a song about outsourcing. It's a song about a girl who is going to buy something and everything that sort of happens around that purchase, you know, what gets that product to her hands. You can also see a live version of this on my carney.org site or the Facebook site as well, where we were rehearsing for the studio and we performed it live. So you can either download this track off of the CD for free, or you can look at the video and watch us perform it live.
Okay, well, here it is, A Beautiful Day.
It's a beautiful day in Hollywood. It's a beautiful day in Memphis. She knows she can, and she knows she is free.
This is not just you and a guitar.
Right. Well, my band, Jeff Herrera on drums, Kim Manolius on bass, and Mike Doyle on guitar. He also lends a lot of guitar on this album. And then I have a wonderful vocalist named Haji Mike out of Cyprus, the island Cyprus. He does some work on one of the songs called Wild Green. And then my husband, Bill Ortiz from the Santana Band, is playing trumpet. He played on that first track that you heard. I've got a guy named Gowen Matthews who plays slide guitar on another song called Eternity. And Carl Perasso from the Santana Band is playing percussion all over this album.
Santana, unless I've got this wrong, and it very well could be. I'm pretty certain that I interviewed Greg Rowley. Well, I know for certain I interviewed him. I believe he was part of Carlos Santana's band for a while.
That sounds familiar.
Right. It's just one of those small worlds.
Oh, yeah.
Do you view yourself as a studio or a stage performer?
I really see myself as a stage performer. I mean, I love that interaction with the audience so much. It's just it's my church. It's my place of worship is being on, you know. I know I've heard a million, you know, musicians say this, and they are absolutely right, and we are all in it together, which is a place to create just some positive energy in this world. We need it so much.
There's a big difference, though, between the studio and the stage. The stage, you get one shot. The studio, you can fiddle around. You can noodle with stuff. You can edit stuff. And there's a scare factor when you go live.
A scare factor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nerves. Stage fright.
Right. When you appear live, do you use the whole band or just you and a guitar or what?
Both. It just depends on the venue. It depends on, you know, the circumstances. They both are really great. I love just performing with my guitar, but, you know, I'm a team player, so I actually kind of prefer playing with the group, and maybe that comes from years and years of playing clarinet as a youth, you know, in bigger bands. So I've actually toured a little bit with some other bands, and I really like the group. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any upcoming performances booked?
Well, we're pulling together a CD release party here in San Francisco, which I will be tweeting, blogging, and whatnoting. And then we're going to probably do a Bay Area run. And then hopefully my goals are West Coast, maybe something in New York. And I would love to go to Berlin and play. Berlin and Oslo, those are two really happening music scenes right now, and I would love to go there and hear some bands and perform a little bit. But that's down the line. For right now, we're probably it gets dropped on July 10th, and so probably the following weekend is when we're going to be doing a show. I'll let you know where, folks.
Have you played outside of the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. Well, outside the U.S., yes, I did. I toured with this other band, and I played over in Scotland and Manchester, Liverpool, London. Previous bands I've been in, we performed in London, and, yeah, so pretty much those places.
I'm obviously, from England originally,
uh-huh.
Although I left the nasty little island some 30-plus years ago. Do you find that the fans are different in England and Scotland?
They weren't. When I was in Scotland, they were there to see the person that I was performing with, who no longer has a group. And they were very, I kind of akin it to a Seattle group, audience, but I don't know, audiences are, if they're into you, they give you love, you know. They're there, they're loyal, they're, you know, true supporters. So anywhere, you'll find that. San Francisco, of course, since I'm from the Bay Area, I get a lot of love from all the people that have supported me through the years. And, you know, I would say once somebody is into your music and is, you know, sort of resonating with what you're saying, you know, that's the thing about music. It really is so positive. I think, you know, if people like to be in that environment, and so it's always going to be a really great experience. I will say that there is a difference in possibly maybe in Germany, where they're just into music. They're not really so segregated in their what they like and what they don't like. They're really music fanatics, all music. And there are places, Bay Area's eclectic, so we kind of are the same way here. There are some places that, you know, they only like one thing or the other, which is, you know, everybody's personal choice. But, you know, it's just a different sort of approach to being a fan.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock. We're running out of time, but one last question. Musical influences. Who do you like to listen to? You know, if you're not listening to Carney, you know, who do you put on your iPod or CD player?
Well, I really love Patti Smith. I really love Neil Young. I love Curtis Mayfield. I love Stevie Wonder. I love so many great musicians that have gone before. And I love different styles of music. I'm really into African music. I'm really into Yusur N'Dour, Salif Keita, Gabin Dabide, which I probably nobody's ever heard of. But he's a West Coast African from the Ivory Coast. And, you know, there's just so much to listen to. I think I said before it would take a long time to really go through it. Donny Hathaway. Yeah, I mean, it just depends on who's on the top of my mind, right, if you ask me that question. What was I listening to yesterday? I checked out a band called Fun. I really like them a lot. So, you know, everybody that is sincere and doing it for the love of music and not for money, it shows. It shows when you're doing it for money, you know?
Yeah, I'm interested in the African connection. Just because you didn't mention Paul Simon.
Right? I love Paul Simon. I love him. You know what I'm saying? You can't think of everybody. What I really love about Paul Simon is that he was a major influence in the 60s, and then when he went and did his African influence, he was a major influence again in the 80s and 90s. Like, he's had many times where he's really affected music and changes in music.
Indeed. Okay, our time less is up. But I do want to thank you for talking to me this afternoon, and I want to wish you every success with your new CD.
Thank you, Simon, and thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. It's been a great pleasure. And just to remind everybody, it's K-A-R-N-E-Y, Carney, and you can check out the Carney Band on the Facebook page. And again, thank you so much, Simon. I've had a great time.
My pleasure. Okay, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe day, and we'll be back again soon. Till next time, goodbye.